You're listening to Amy Keeps It Creepy, the podcast where I share my obsession with true crime and the paranormal with you. I'm your host, Amy Brooks. A tree haunted by the people that were hung from it? Failed exorcisms? Spirits hungry for your energy? Welcome to Hinsdale House, a haunted house in New York, sure to terrify anyone brave enough to step inside. Hi, creepsters. This is such an exciting episode. Hinsdale House is truly a terrifying place. I went there by myself, okay? I did my own investigation for preparation of this podcast, and wow, I only lasted 90 minutes. I made contact with something that felt like a dark energy, and whatever it was, it did not like me. I recorded over 100 EVPs, and there was a man that came through that wanted me to leave. Next week, I will post the video of my paranormal adventure at Hinsdale House on my new YouTube channel, Toxic Content. You can find the link in my show notes and watch me get scared out of my mind. Oh. I'm on Instagram at Creepy Podcast, and you can find my paranormal adventures on my Instagram page at Amy Keeps It Creepy. For pics, videos, and show news, check out the Amy Keeps It Creepy website, creepypodcast.com. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe to Amy Keeps It Creepy on Apple Podcast or wherever you podcast so you never miss an episode. I promise to creep you out. My guest today has been called a paranormal influencer. He's one of the stars of the Ghost Finders and has traveled the country ghost hunting. Coolest of all, he owns one of the most haunted places in New York, Hinsdale House. This place has a mysterious and dark history of hanging, suicide kidnappings, and failed exorcisms. Please welcome Daniel Klass. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you. You're kind of famous in the paranormal world, so thank you for being on with us.
No problem. I'm excited to hear about your little tour last week. Haven't been able to talk to you.
So Daniel was kind enough to let me have the opportunity to visit Hinsdale House for my own investigation. And this place, guys, is the real deal. In 90 minutes, I recorded over 100 EVPs, mostly yeses and get out and slut and bitch. So we'll get into all of that. There's some really interesting ones. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got some really interesting ones. I'll share them with you a little bit later. But first, I want to talk about this place. Tell me, who haunts Hinsdale House?
I mean, that's what we're trying to figure out. I mean, there's a lot of folklore and a lot of different stories attached to the house throughout time. But my whole goal was to be able, because this place was actually going to be torn down about a little over five years ago. It just, that place just called to me. I probably could, for many of the same reasons that you were there for 90 minutes and received so many EVPs. I was there and I felt like the house was calling out to me. Like it needed a voice, and the energies there needed a voice to be able to speak. So we could, you know, figure out what was the reason of these hauntings. I mean, there was a failed exorcism there in the 1970s, and the family fled to California, and they don't have any answers. They don't understand why or what happened. And that's part of my goal, is to be able to give them answers, because I'm in contact with them, and she's become such a good friend of mine. I want to be able to give her answers. I mean, she's lost two of her kids, and she believes a lot of it has to do with this house.
Whoa. You're talking about the family, the Dandys, who lived there in the 1970s.
Correct.
So Clara Dandy wrote a book, an expose about this house. And now, what did the community think about that when they went public?
Well, when they went public, they were tormented. They had, I mean, she told me a story about how they were sitting down for dinner and people just barged into their house asking to see ghosts. I mean, it was all very taboo back in the 1970s. And you got to think about, like, this is before the movie The Exorcist even came out. So there was nothing that people really dealt with, you know, as far as this type of thing went back then. And it was all over the papers, and people knew about this place and what this family was going through.
Yeah, these were not the days when people would come forward and say, yeah, my place is haunted, you know, just to become famous. No, this family was reaching out for help, I think.
Correct.
So they went to the Catholic Church, right?
That's correct.
So tell me about the exorcism.
They had this priest, his name was Father Alphonsus Trebolt, and he worked at St. Bonaventure University, and he was actually, I would think he was a pretty cool guy because he was into this type of stuff, into the occult, into different religions, and he seemed to understand what they were going through. He had gone there many times. You know, he performed a mass in the kitchen to try to assist them. Things died down, and then he brought a famous psychic by the name of Alex Tanis to the house, who had visions of what was going on, to the point where eventually they got an approval to perform a structural exorcism on the location. Now, they brought a film crew in from New York City, and they had the family kneeling in a circle in the living room. The film crew started filming, and the father started doing what he does.
Wait a minute, the kids were there too?
The whole family was there. They were all experiencing
it. Oh, my God.
They were all experiencing things. They all had unexplained things happening, and they wanted answers, and they wanted the whole family to feel blessed and the whole family to understand what was happening, you know, so there was no secrets between them. They all knew something weird was going on at this house.
But what was happening to the Dandies? What were they experiencing?
I mean, you name it. You're talking about a woman in white out by the pond, dancing around the pond that would disappear.
Whoa.
A man in overalls in the forest behind the house that disappeared.
Oh my God.
You had the sound of Jesuit chanting coming from the forest. At night, they had signs of UFOs. They had unexplained creatures. And, you know, some of the stuff, I mean, we've experienced currently, you know, that these creatures that she's talking about in her book, I have a picture of one that we don't know. We can't explain what it is behind the house. So that they were having poltergeist activity in the house.
Whoa.
They were having things flying off the shelves, games
Whoa.
Flying off the shelves, dolls moving, a lot of creepy bricks being thrown. I mean, I can't even imagine living through it, just reading her book, you know, and being able to talk to her and listen to her story from her own mouth. Like, I've gone to Oregon where she lives now. She's, you know, 83 years old. And just to be able to hear from her own mouth, her story and her tears coming from her face, it just really hits home for me, you know. This is her story. This is what she dealt with. And, you know, when they performed this exorcism, they said that the whole house was shaking and it sounded like it was screaming. They had a microphone outside the window and it was cleared. You know, the house was cleared within 30 seconds. And then it ramped back up after they were done again. And the priest basically said, you know, there's not much more I can do. The only advice that I can give you is to leave. And that's what they did. They hightailed it out as far away from there as they could, all the way to the West Coast.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. They were so out of there. But it seems like there's a portal. It seems like there's some kind of gateway in that house.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of psychics have come there, a lot of different lay people. And they say that there is a portal there, you know, and many have tried to close it. Many have tried to do different things to try it. But it doesn't work. You know, it hasn't worked to this point. I feel like we're making progress on the location as far as getting answers and things like that. But I don't, you know, there's energies there all the time. You know, I have teams collecting data for me every weekend, and there's names that pop up that I don't have, that doesn't make any sense to me as far as like the history goes. There are names that do make sense. I mean, my whole thing was, the Dandy family experienced this thing in the 1970s. Other families that moved in and out of this place throughout time had to have experienced something. So that's been kind of like what I've been doing, is talking to these families, talking to neighbors, talking to people that have experienced things in this house. And I'll tell you what, this past year, I actually spoke to people that lived there before the Dandies that experienced things. And it kind of blew my mind, because my whole theory was, is when in 69, when they built this pond, is that's when they unearthed whatever was unleashed on this family. And that my whole theory was, is that that's why this all started happening, you know, but you know, it was happening before.
Wow.
So that goes to say that there's possibly, it ties to the land, a lot of things, you know, with the land and Native Americans. And we've found Native American lore. When we were digging for the septic system, we found arrowheads and we found things that would tie that land to Native Americans, you know? So, I mean, you were there. I mean, what a perfect location. You have a water source on the top of a hill, you know, like to set up camp, you know? So, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yes. And I'm going to post all the videos and pictures that I took and the EVPs on creepypodcast.com. I'm going to speak about the Indian stuff, because in my EVP session, I did ask about that. I did ask about the history of Native Americans on the property. And there was a female voice that started talking about it with me.
Wow.
And agreed. It was really powerful. That is not included in my EVPs today. But okay, so let's do it. Let's go through my EVPs and then we can talk about who could possibly be haunting this place. Go into the history a little bit more. Okay, so Daniel, I got there. And I was fine. I was like, oh, this is cool. I like this place. This is like, I could, you know, spend a weekend here. It's kind of romantic. It's out in the middle of nowhere. There is like this pretty pond. It's very secluded. And that's when I was with the safety of having another person there, because there was a volunteer that helped me in. And as soon as she left and the door shut, I felt like a wave come over me of a feeling like I was not supposed to be there. I turned on my recorder, and within 30 seconds, people started talking to me. Now, guys, I was there all alone. It was just me, female voice me. And a lot of my EVPs were from men. And this is the first one. You ready? So I think it's calling me a slut.
Wow.
And I had my recorder on the kitchen table. I was not touching it. And you can hear that like slam, like it's slamming it down and saying slut.
Wow.
That freaked me out. That freaked me out. So I got that angry male voice throughout the entire 90-minute session. But then I also got a kinder male voice who kept telling me to stay. And the other guy would tell me, get out. And here's another get out. Listen to this. So I have dozens of those get outs. That guy, it's the same voice every time. And he's just telling me to get out. Sometimes he's telling me, get out, bitch, get out, slut. He did not like me. He did not like me. It was wild. So I'm standing there and I have to load in my equipment. I didn't bring a lot of stuff. I like it to be very simple when it's me. I have two recorders. I have a very cheap, simple camera and my other camera and a tripod. Simple stuff. I like it to be accessible. I don't want it to be fancy. It's COVID. I don't have a big crew with me. And I feel like when it's just me, I get a lot of activity around me. As soon as I left, I shut the door because I didn't want the heat to come out, because I had shut off the heater, because for sound, it's very loud. So as soon as I come back, the door is wide open. And then I come inside, I shut the door, and then the heater turns on. And that freaked me out because I shut it off. I turned it all the way down. I don't know why it turned on. But then I asked this question.
Let's go check it out. Did you turn on the heater?
So I heard a yes, and then I heard a yes, I did.
Absolutely.
Did you hear anything?
I'm hearing them loud and clear. My God.
Okay. Let me play it again for my listeners.
Let's go check it out. Did you turn on the heater?
Okay. And during this time, I'm getting a woman who keeps talking to me. And then I go into the living room because I was really drawn to this yellow chair. And this is what I heard. What the F? You heard that, right, Daniel?
I definitely did.
Oh my God. I'm getting the heebie-jeebies. I'm going to play it again. I think she's saying I'm dead.
My God, I hope that she's saying I'm dead, sounds like to me.
I think she's saying, yeah, I'm dead. Freaky, freaky, freaky. And her voice is heard throughout my sessions. Okay, and then I went upstairs to the bedrooms and I did a lot of EVP sessions up there. There was a lot of creepy stuff. And the male voice that didn't want me to be there came out a lot. And he said this to me. I think he's saying bitch.
Definitely.
Yes, he's saying bitch.
Uh-huh.
And my heart started beating really fast and it felt very heavy. And I asked, I said, is somebody doing that to me? Is somebody making me feel that way? And then he of course said he is. And he started taunting me and I had a camera issue and I was like, oh God, I can't get this camera to start working. And he says to me, that's what cameras are for. Like,
wow.
He was very sarcastic and very rude and did not want me there. But then you'd have the other guy saying, stay. There were intelligent responses, Daniel. Literally, I'm telling you, there were 100 EVPs. Dozens of yeses to my questions. I got a couple names. It was unclear to me.
Uh-huh.
There were quite a few male names. And almost the woman, it sounded like she was speaking a different language at one time, which was kind of creepy. But let me share two more EVPs with you, and then we can get into some history. All right, this is the rude guy again. I think he's saying you're impossible. Oh, and I was doing some like comedy upstairs. You know, that's my background. So I was like making fun of ghosts a little bit. So I think he didn't like that. And then this is the one that freaked me out the most, Daniel. I'm saved this one for the last. Okay. So I'm packing up to leave. There was a little bit of a lull. I didn't go downstairs to the basement because it was too scary for me. So I'm packing up and I'm saying goodbye to everybody. And then things started happening. Like I heard voices and I got them on my video camera. They were not on my recorder. And it really scared me. And then the door kind of wouldn't open. And this is what I said.
Sega doesn't want me to go. That was really super creepy.
I think he's saying it's creepy.
Yeah.
In response to me saying it's creepy. And this is Amy Keeps It Creepy.
Was that slamming noise? Do you know what that was from?
I would have to refer to the footage. I think it might be me collecting my stuff.
Oh, okay.
But it also, the recorder was on the table. So again, it could have been him slamming it again. But I'm going to play it one more time for my listeners.
Sega doesn't want me to go. That was really super creepy.
Yeah, definitely.
What the hell? Oh my God, it's saying it's creepy. Oh.
Yeah.
So does this make any sense having two males?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's definitely a darker energy in that location that doesn't come out often. And it sounds to me like you got there at a inopportune time.
Yeah, didn't like me.
But he does get out, especially with women. Get out.
Okay.
And a lot of people associate this guy with the story of one of the brothers that used to live at this house when they first built the location. Just egotistical, feels like he's in charge. He suppresses the other energies that are there. When you try to have a communication. So a lot of times what I tell people to do is ignore him and move on and maybe outside the house or just make sure that you stay grounded when you're communicating with him, because he can be an asshole at times. You know what I mean? So it's, I mean, he's followed people home before.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he has like, and one of the biggest stars in the paranormal, I mean, did a show there called Paranormal Lockdown. Nick Groff and Katrina Weidman. And when they filmed the show there, this thing followed him home.
Oh no.
Now he really opened himself up to the elements. He knew what he was doing. But it felt like the house lightened after he left. And then he all of a sudden I was doing a tour there and on the spirit boxes, all of a sudden I started getting, where's Nick? You know, like in that dark voice that you're getting.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, and then I called Nick up and I'm like, Nick, you know, I'm like, you know, all of a sudden we started getting this voice asking for you. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. I go, what? He goes, I just cleansed my whole house and I just did a cleansing ceremony like today. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So it was like, it's like it just sent him back.
Oh my God.
And Nick's been infatuated with the location ever since, you know, like trying to figure out what this is and what it is. And it's definitely been there for a long time.
It's crazy.
And it definitely suppresses the other energies there. But this is what drew me to this location. I mean, you've probably been in so many different locations and investigated so many different spots. Where can you go and for 90 minutes and get as much evidence that you got anywhere else? You know, it's like I'll sit for hours and hours and hours and hope I get one EVP sometimes. And you go to the Hinsdale house and you put down your equipment and it's like they just know how to manipulate it. They know how to use it. And it just goes off. And it's like they're just calling to you. They're like trying to tell you something. Like there's so much more to this place that needs to be uncovered. And I mean, you're getting women, men, all these different energies there. And there's so much folklore. But, you know, like with folklore, when that gets passed along from generation to generation, I feel like there's got to be some truth to it, but we just got to find a way to prove it. And that's what I'm trying to do, dive into that history and dive into the folklore and try to debunk everything if I can.
You are my new hero. You are so fascinating to own this place, to save this place, because it was derelict.
It was.
It was destroyed. Looters were going through there. I mean, I read the police reports. People destroyed it.
It was.
It's just weirdos and paranormal weirdos and kids. Who knows? They'll never know. But I know you had to put bars on the windows because people think it's cool to just, I don't know, do an investigation because they feel like it.
Yeah. It felt like a lot of the times I would get something fixed and I'd come back and it would be broken into and destroyed. And it was just hard. It was hard because I put everything that I had into buying this location. And then, you know, fixing it's been taking a long time. You know, it's been one project after another project, patch jobs, then eventually doing the job the right way. But I mean, you're right. I mean, I sometimes look back and think, what the hell was I doing? You know, like, and I remember trying to explain it to my wife, you know, when I was thinking about buying the location, how do I explain, honey, I want to buy an income property down in the Southern Tier. Oh, tell me about it. Well, it's got black mold throughout the kitchen. It needs a new roof. There's 500,000 honeybees in the wall. No septic system. Electricity doesn't work. Everything had to be redone in this whole house. And it was a shell of what it is today. I mean, it looks like a well-maintained farmhouse now. But when I got it, it was leaking. It was gross. It was bad. But it'll stand the test of time now. And people can go there for more generations and investigate this location. But ultimately my goal is to get answers and keep collecting data, you know, from people that go there. And I want it to be available for people to go that are interested in paranormal research. So
I think your wife probably knows the man she married.
Yeah.
She knows you're into it and is supportive of you. But what do the people think in the community? Because there's a big sign. It's a dirt road. And then there's just this sign, Hinsdale House, haunted house. What do people think?
I mean, when I first bought the location, I kid you not, I was getting death threats.
What?
From locals. Oh, I was. They didn't want this. What was happening is it was becoming a spectacle. And people, the group that was trying to buy it before me from Calgary, were having like these big events up there, paracons or whatever, and putting circus tents up and having zombies walk all around. They were turning it into a fun house. And that's not what it was meant to be. And I think they associated me with doing the same type of thing. And it took me a while to convince the community that I was going to be a good neighbor, that I was going to draw in tourism. And I mean, it was hard. It was very hard at the beginning to get anybody to step, you know, help me and the local community, because there you go there. You move to Hinsdale, you're there for a reason. You don't want to be around people. You're quiet. You know, your closest neighbor is two football fields away. And, they've rallied around me now. Like I'm on the local Hinsdale page now. Like they're proud of me because of what I've actually brought. I brought in, you know, like you think about it, I had tourists before the whole COVID thing from five different countries the previous year. I had people coming from all 50 states. And staying in hotels, buying food, and promoting Hinsdale, New York. And, you know, it's become a positive thing for the community. I get involved with their Horseradish Festival every year where I go
yes.
and talk to people about it and just, you know, sit with the community. And it's cool because you hear stories. Everybody's got little stories from oh, I played with Laura, Dandy. And you get to talk about when they went to school together. And you just get to hear things that you wouldn't have normally been able to hear when you're positive, you know, in the community. So they really embraced me now. And, you know, they put out advertising for it on their, the county does. The local communities embraced me. Every now and then you're going to get one that isn't into the paranormal or thinks it's, you know, all Satan worship and things like that. But for the most part, they're very open arms right now. And I get asked to come and talk at like the library. I get asked to come and talk at the local college, St. Bonaventure. A lot of people are interested in it. They even talk about it at St. Bonaventure to the students there. So it's pretty awesome to feel part of the community, you know, because of a haunted location.
Oh, they lucked out when you bought that place. Let me tell you, because it could have been turned into, like you said, a ghost circus.
Yeah.
So I definitely got that energy of two men. Now, I heard that there was a rumor that there were two outlaws that used to live there that could have killed people, kidnapped people, put people in the basement. Are those rumors based in fact?
No. No, there's no fact at all as far as I can prove that's folklore. The only fact that I do know is dating the history back to the house when it was built in 1853, that two brothers owned the location. My research in them discovered that they were like metal workers, iron workers, things like that. But nothing to say that they were bad citizens or bad in the community.
But they just lived there alone out in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
Without wives. Yeah, it's weird. Back then, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's totally weird. I mean, that definitely adds a weirdness to it. We've gotten EVPs in the basement saying, I'm dead. I'm buried. Help find me.
Oh, my God.
One other situation. So if they killed somebody in that basement, when we were renovating the bathroom, right, we found a bullet shard lodged into the wood.
Whoa.
In the basement wood when we were taking it down. There's a gentleman, his name's Jeff Sent out of Columbus, Ohio, that takes old wood and turns the wood into spirit boxes, which can help with the energy of the wood. When he was cutting into it, he found this bullet lodged into the wood.
Oh my God.
I'm like, my gosh, that's crazy.
Oh, you totally have dead bodies down there. I'm sorry, Daniel. There were murders. There were dead bodies. There's something's going on in that house. It would not surprise me. Now tell me about Suicide Tree.
So on the northeast corner of the property, when you first drive down the dirt road to get to the house, the town of Hinsdale's hanging tree, the tree that they actually used to hang folks, was at the corner of that street. That is the truth.
Wow. There's an energy there. People have died. People.
Yeah.
Traumatically.
A lot of the folks that come to investigate there associate the woman in white and the Indian lady that they get around this pond area. They've captured it on film. They've captured it on picture with a story that this psychic that the priest brought to the house, this vision that he had of the hanging tree. he said that he felt that a woman was deemed to have committed adultery, which she didn't, was hung while she was pregnant.
Oh.
And they later found out that she was married and then hid the body. The husband came looking for her. He was off fighting in the war and was lied to. And her body is somewhere on the property is what the story, the psychic Alex Tanis had said. So many, you know, psychics have come there and felt that, you know, talk about like a hanging and pregnancy and just that feeling of sorrow that you would get, you know, how sad they must have felt, you know, like the lady getting killed after just getting married and becoming pregnant. And then the man coming to try to find his wife and his baby and nowhere to be found. It's sad, but I mean, that's just one story. I mean, if that was that, or that tree was used for hangings, how many people died there? When you investigate around the tree, now this tree got hit by lightning in 2003.
What?
And fell over into the ditch. Yeah. And it's a weird story. I mean, they're saying that
that's weird.
The story that I'm being told from residents and things like that is that it was a clear day and a bolt of lightning came out of the sky and hit this tree. And then they had to tip it over into the ditch, you know? So, I mean, workers from the town of Hinsdale were afraid of that tree. You know, they didn't even want to go down that road. When we investigate over there, we get EVPs. We get EMF from the wood, which is really weird. Like, there's no reasonable explanation as to why a piece of wood is shooting out energy that's making a K2 meter go off. So it's very, I don't know. It's just it's a mystery, you know. It's definitely a mystery,
to say the least.
But it definitely adds to the folklore and the story.
Daniel, you're so calm. Maybe it's because I'm a scaredy cat, but this place is highly spirited. And for sure, 100%, you have bodies buried on that property. There is some funky energy. It's wild. And all of these stories, but you're so calm. You never get scared?
Not at that location. I've been scared, but I feel like that location, it doesn't affect me. I feel like I was drawn to that location, like I was put there for a reason. And I don't know, my mindset is getting answers. You know, it's weird, man. It's so weird because there's so many different theories with this place. And there was a group called Haunt Me that went there. I don't know if you ever heard of like Greg and Dana from the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal Occult.
No.
They went there with the theory of, maybe the house is its own energy. Maybe the house is its own being or its own entity. Because everybody always says the house this, the house that. Like it's its own thing. And what they got when they were doing an EVP session in the living room just blew my mind away. Because when the recording they got, they said, we only want to speak to the house. And when they said, house, what do you want from us? And it said, energy on the recorder. So maybe I'm feeding people to the house. Maybe I'm giving the house what it wants. Maybe the energy on the land and location is giving people what they want. So they want to come back and are drawn to the location.
You're enabling the ghosts, Daniel.
So why would they affect me? Why would that affect me?
Because you're the protector.
Exactly.
You're protecting it. You're keeping it alive. You're bringing it food, the energy that it needs.
So in theory, it would probably leave me alone and make me feel comfortable there, right?
Right. It's very manipulative. When you first started this interview, you told me that there are a lot of EVPs recorded there because the spirits know how to manipulate the electronics. They know how to talk, how to communicate through ghost hunting equipment because they're experts, they're professionals.
Correct.
It's wild. Oh my God.
Some of the pictures that we've collected there are mind-blowing. One picture that we captured upstairs with just a regular Canon Mark D2, regular, no flash or anything. And it looks like an energy of a young girl walking up the stairs. Now, that little room off to the right, which people will see in your video, I'm sure, that was Laura's bedroom. She was Laura Dandy. She later committed suicide. She was the one that was most affected at that house by these energies and the spirits. And she committed suicide.
Wait a minute. Did she commit suicide in the house?
No. After they left.
Oh.
But the picture that I captured, it looks like her. Now I showed Clara the picture, Clara Dandy, and she said to me, "Dan, oh my God, that's my Laura." Another psychic that was there said that he saw a young girl and it looked like Laura. Now it was winter. Saw her down in the kitchen wearing like 70s like outfit. And then he double took and went back downstairs and the doors weren't open and he opened both the doors. There was no footprints in the snow. There was nothing to explain where this girl came from. And I said, Laura, why would Laura go back to a place that haunted her? And she said, I know why she'd go back, but she wouldn't give me the reason. She wouldn't tell me why Laura would go back to that house when that place haunted her, you know, like it was after her.
Oh, you have to find out. And I have to know. You have to tell me.
I will. I'm in
inquiring minds. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, but one step at a time, you know, it's a comfort level with people, and you have to be able to, we want her story to be told. We want it to be told the right way.
And believed exactly. Because this woman put herself out there. She was tormented by this paranormal activity. Her kids were tormented. And I really feel like the community didn't embrace her. They didn't help her. She had to flee.
Now, there's one more thing. One of her son died. Okay.
Okay.
So her son died. His name was Michael. He was in the bedroom as you first walk into the kitchen to the right. He was in an accident in Hinsdale. And he was hospitalized at Hinsdale Hospital. He had a brain aneurysm while he was driving. Now, he was probably in his 50s. You know, he was going to visit Clara. And the coroner said that he died. The aneurysm happened from a previous accident that he had. So Clara, she feels like this house came back to get him. She feels like this accident that he had when he was younger all of a sudden resurfaced later in life, and it came back and got him.
Oh.
That's how tormented she feels. Now she's lost two of her children, two out of her four and her husband.
Now, I want people to know that there was a family that lived there after the Dandys, and it was an older couple. The gentleman, yeah. He was a war veteran, stormed the beach at Normandy, tough guy. And when he bought that property, he went into the kitchen and said, "This is my place," because he knew the rumors. He knew the stories. And apparently there was no activity while they lived there.
They said that. But in communication with their grandchildren, in communication with even Florence, which was the name of his wife, who I feel like I was connected to at this location. This is the reason that I bought this house. Because when I was an investigator, when I was going there before I owned the location, all I knew was the exorcism and the Dandy family. And my mind process was there had to be other people. There had to be other people that were affected here.
Right.
And the night that we were there, we were basically saying our goodbyes to the location because, you know, it was no electricity. You know, the place was, doors were wide open, and they were tearing it down. I hadn't even spoken to the bank yet. And we were sitting in the kitchen, me and my friend, and another person was recording us. And he was talking about the exorcism, and we were getting nothing, no communication at all. And I had a K2 meter in my hand, and I said, "Flo, are you here?" And I got this jolting sensation on my arm, like it felt ice cold. The hair was standing up on my arm, like I just felt
it. Ooh, like it touched you?
Oh, yeah. And the K2 meter went off in my hand all the way to 500 milligauss, which is a lot of energy. I continued to have what I felt was a conversation with her. I then, you know, you used the K2 meter before, right? So you know that they go on and off.
I haven't. I'm not a professional investigator. I'm a film director. I'm fascinated by the paranormal. And I started doing my podcast, and I've only done 5 investigations.
I see. Wow. Well, this device picks up energy, basically. There's no real reason why it would go off. Can't say it was the electrical wires in the house, because the electric was all torn out. There's no logical explanation why this K2 meter was going off.
There is a reason. Yes.
Yeah, I believe it was Florence Misnick.
Oh, my God.
I asked her if she would hold my hand as we go up the stairs. Now, when you use these devices, you usually place them on the ground or you place it in your hand. They go off. That's it. You know, like this thing stayed lit in my hand all the way up the stairs into the master bedroom. And then when I said, "Will you come into Mary's room with me?" which is when we named all the rooms after the Dandy family. When I crossed over into that threshold of that room, I lost her. The next morning, you know, as a ghost finder, you know, I was all pumped. I'm like, "Oh, look where I investigated last night." I posted the picture on my Facebook page. I get a message from a lady by the name of Jackie. And she goes, "Oh, I see you were at my grandparents' house last night." I said, "Shut the front door. Are you kidding me?" I go, "Who are your grandparents?" And she said, "Florence and Joe Misnick." I go, "You got to be kidding me." So we immediately became good friends. She tells me stories of things that happened to her when she was a little girl there. So So they weren't telling everybody the whole story.
They kept it secret. They kept it secret. Yeah. They didn't want people to know that they were being haunted too. Oh my gosh.
Exactly. And Jackie goes there now. She's welcome to come whenever she wants. And she said she feels a connection with her grandmother there.
Wow.
That might have been the lady that you spoke with.
The one
that could have been her.
This one? That sounds like a younger woman to me.
Then yeah, I mean, it could be Laura.
Wow. It sounds like a woman though.
Yeah.
Like a grown woman. It could be the woman who, you know, killed herself on the property. It could be so many different spirits.
It could be so many different things. It's just hard to even think about. You can't put your finger on it.
But that's the thing, Daniel. And this is going to be your life's work. This place is highly spirited. We're not talking about three spirits. We're talking about a myriad of spirits that come through. And then if it truly is a portal, you might have lots of spirits coming in and checking in at different times.
Yeah, and that's not even including the stuff that you get on the outside of the house.
Oh, wow.
You know, with the Native Americans and the potential things that may be on the outside of the house, just even add to it. And that's the biggest draw about the location is because people will get what you got in the house and then they'll go outside and they'll even get more. And it's like you're having three or four different investigations in one night because of different stories and different folklore. It's pretty invigorating. It really is. On the right side of the pond, they dumped all the dirt from the pond when they dug that. So you couldn't even walk over there when I first bought the house. The aquifer that fills the pond, the underground aquifer, it was basically turning that. That was all swampland. You couldn't even walk over there. Originally, it wasn't. There was a barn over there that burned down in the late 1960s. And we found where the aquifer was on the hill, and we put an underground sewer. We dug it and put the sewer to the pond, so all that water filters through the sewer pipe now. And then we graded it, and we found the barn foundation as well.
Really?
And we've gotten EVPs from the barn. Yeah, so mysterious. We said, well, why did the barn burn down? And it said insurance. I'm like, you got that. I mean, what are the chances, you know, just to for them to be truthful like that and say, oh, we got insurance money from it. You know, like,
no, that's an intelligent response. And those were the type of responses I got throughout the whole 90 minutes. I got answers to questions and, you know, mostly yes and get out, but you know, also sentences, full sentences from spirits. It's crazy.
Welcome to my world.
Ah! Wow, your world is fascinating. I'm humbled. I'm humbled. I am a scaredy cat. I mean, I write this crap. I'm a horror film director and a writer. And this, my life has completely been changed, Daniel. What happened to me is I started this podcast and then things started happening in my house. Oh, I'm getting emotional. My son and daughter had always said that they would see things and hear things. And then when I started my podcast, I started hearing things. And then I started investigating my own home and realized my place is way haunted. And then I started getting weird stuff happening to me. And I did a podcast episode and an EVP was recorded during my episode.
Wow.
It changed my life. It changed my life. No, I was interviewing the Red Onion Saloon in Skagway, Alaska. It's an old bordello. And during the interview, this woman was alone, literally in Alaska, in a bar by herself at 8 a.m. There was no one there. And on her track, which is recorded separately, as we're doing now, we're not together in a studio, it's because of COVID, there was a man talking. And then there were children laughing and talking. And they were talking about what she was saying. And it rocked my world. And I've always wanted to be a believer in the unbelievable, but I'm a horror film girl. I never thought that this could all be real, but my mind has been changed. And going and investigating Hinsdale House has also changed my mind. This place is highly spirited. And if you're interested in the paranormal, I highly recommend you guys check this place out. Wow. Yeah, but you've been involved in the paranormal research since you were young.
Yeah, I mean, I actually grew up in a haunted location.
Oh my God.
You know, nothing that was crazy, nothing that was, you know, like the Dandies went through. But it was like a, I always call it like my life Scooby-Doo episode, because I ended up having things happen, like crayon drawings on the ceiling, hearing little kids singing in the house. My sister's stuffed animals were always getting moved. Nothing malicious, but it was,
friends.
Yeah. We had, but my parents always said it was nothing, you know? So it was like, I had to have that, like my brain, like, is this, am I going crazy or is this really happening? Like, what is going, I had no idea what was going on, until I went and visited a psychic at Lilydale. And, before I even sat down, before I even paid her a dime, she says, oh, you have two children spirits living in your house. I'm like, what? You know, like, hello, this is what I needed to know. And then she went on to tell me all this other stuff that she shouldn't have known either. So it kind of made me a believer in that type of, aspect. And I had gone to college, and then my parents had said, you know, we're going to move. Would you be interested in buying the house? And I had just had a baby, and I'm like, yeah, this would, you know, be great to move into back to the old neighborhood, have my kids go to the same school I went to. So I ended up buying that house, and then things started happening again. And I'm like, oh, I forgot about this. You know, this is a,
you forgot.
Well, that's wild. It gets out of your mind. You don't think about it, because it wasn't something that like screwed with me like my whole life. It was like little things that happened here and there. And then my wife started telling me, I think I just saw a little girl standing on upper stairs. I'm like, and it just all, everything flashed before my eyes. Like everything that happened when I was a kid, everything, all the things that have happened. And, I went and got the deed, and I started researching the deed and found out that there were two children that died of cystic fibrosis. Now the psychic, the one thing that stood out to me from the psychic, she said that they were attached to something original to that house. Couldn't figure out what it was. And then, in this house, it had one of those like attics that was like a little square in the ceiling. Like you never go in them. You'd have to get a ladder to get up in there. So I had never been up there. And I looked up and I saw it. I'm like, I've never been up there. So I went and got a ladder and I popped that thing open. Sounded like opening a can of tennis balls. And, I looked around with a flashlight and I saw these boards against the back wall, and I tiptoed over there and I turned them around, and they were paintings of a little boy and a little girl playing with a dog.
Shut up.
And I'm like, oh my God, I was freaking out. Like I was calling my parents. I was like, oh my God, this is what they're attached to. And it felt like once we acknowledged them and once we found what they were attached to, they moved on. It was like I helped them. I was able to help them. And that's really what got me into the paranormal, like wanting to find out more. Like I was able to assist them in their crossover, telling them it was okay. And I feel like they're like part of my family. Like I have the painting to this day. The story was featured on Travel Channel. You know, like they did a whole story on it, and it's just a crazy lifetime. It was like from half of my life I dealt with this place, you know, and lived there and lived with it and then figured it out, which makes me know that I can figure this out. It's just a lot bigger of a challenge, but it will get there.
You can. I want to do a part two 5 years from now and hear about all that you've discovered. Because I know you are the one. You had a calling, it spoke to you, and this place, you're meant to be there. You're meant to investigate it, Daniel.
Yeah, I hope so.
I do too.
Hopefully it'll be my kid, because he's interested in it too. So.
Oh my gosh. See, it was so funny when you said that your parents told you, yeah, no, there's nothing there. That's what I tell my kids. And maybe I'm freaking them out and they think they're crazy. Maybe I should acknowledge their experiences.
Oh yeah. You know, my parents will tell stories now. My sisters, they all have their own stories of things that have happened. And, yeah, I mean, it makes sense now, definitely. But I embrace it with my children. You know, my son has seen a little boy at that house. And I embraced him when he told me that when he was little, and I didn't want him to feel like he was crazy, because it was something that I experienced.
Right.
So it's, he's, even tonight we were going to the store and he said, Dad, when I graduate, can I work for you? I go, work for me doing what? He goes, ghost hunting.
Oh, he wants to be in the family business. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Great. Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, Daniel. This has been an amazing interview. Thank you again for letting me investigate Hinsdale House.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so glad you got to come.
Yeah, you guys have to check out creepypodcast.com. I'm going to post the video. It's unbelievable. And hopefully we'll be able to share some of the pictures that Daniel has experienced at the house as well. Hi, Creepsters. If you liked what you heard today, please subscribe to Amy Keeps It Creepy on Apple Podcast or wherever you podcast so you never miss an episode. I promise to creep you out. Thank you for listening.
Toxic content.